The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home. Hello, Northumberland County, and welcome to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's real estate talk show. We take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County. I'm Dave Smith, certified home inspector, and my effervescent co-host is the one and only Dale Bryant, real estate broker. Come on, Bryant.
What's going on?
You told me spring was here, and I'm here to tell you it is not. It is not. What are you going to do about it?
Well, maybe pull out my winter jacket again.
This is a terrible effort by you, Mr. Bryant.
I remember about 5 weeks ago, one of the administrative staff at our office, Tammy, we were communicating, and I said, isn't it great to have spring here? And she laughed.
Yes.
Because she said, what are you talking about? I hadn't been outside yet that day, but winter came back, and I've been wearing my spring jacket for a while.
It's been really awful.
On and off.
It's been awful. So what are we going to do to put that out of our minds today?
Dave, I think we have a topic here that will take people to another place. And
wow.
And they'll forget about this cold weather.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the home inspection today, Dave.
Excellent idea.
Something that I am trusting you know a little bit about. Specifically, how certified home inspector Dave Smith and co-host of Reality Realty approaches a home inspection. And we want to know some of the newer aspects of today's home inspection, such as the infrared cameras, wet inspections, radon monitors. What's going to happen maybe in licensing for home inspectors in Ontario? And I have a suspicion you'll have some surprises for us.
Well, we've never really gone into this kind of depth before. We're going to do it. I'm hoping to do a similar thing with the process of your half of this Reality Realty equation, and that is going from the decision to sell through the entire process of selling your home in the coming weeks. So I'm looking forward to this one today. What else? We've also got, you know, we're going to stick to our core segments. And what are they going to be?
Yes, as always, a home inspection tip of the week. We'll be doing Snapshot, which is a snapshot of today's residential real estate market in Northumberland County. And we'll be looking at points to ponder.
All right, so my home inspection tip of the week, part 780, are you keeping track? Part 786 of my 2,394 part series.
Oh, believe me, I am.
Be a home inspector for a day or at least an hour. This segment is called, I love putting in these sexy topics, caulking, what's the diff?
Yeah.
You're eating this stuff up.
Yeah, if I was doing something else right now, I would be.
You would drop it.
I would drop it.
Okay, so what's the difference between caulkings? There's a lot of caulking differences out there, and it's not always about the price. They may look the same, but they all have specific uses. And I'm gonna go into my favorite, and my favorite is high quality acrylic caulking. Acrylic means water based, and don't confuse it with alkyd or oil based. And that often used to happen with paint, but they're using the same terminology because they're designed along the same lines. Acrylic means it's soap and water cleanup. It's low odor, fast dry, high flexibility, high workability, and most important, it's paintable. It's relatively inexpensive. The disadvantages of a high quality acrylic caulking, both interior or exterior, it is not the best choice for high moisture areas like tubs and showers. And the other disadvantage of a high quality acrylic is they generally shrink as they dry as comparative to other quality caulkings. Silicones, again, very often misused, and with the misuse of high quality acrylics often used around bathtubs and stuff, should never be used around those areas. Silicones, on the other hand, also one of the most popular ones. They have the longest life. They've got the best durability. They're very stable. That is, they don't change properties over time the way an acrylic might. They are waterproof, so they are the only choice around tubs, sinks, showers, or outside around ponds, etc. They have the best adherence to metals and glass. The disadvantages of silicones, they are more expensive. They're thicker, so they are tougher to what they like to call tool, in other words, to apply or to smooth out. Cleaning is a problem. Silicone has a very durable product and very difficult to get off your tools and your hands or cloths. It's just about impossible to get out of clothing.
What would you clean it with, Dave?
You really can't do much with it.
Just a dry rag?
You've got it. And
get
throw it,
it
away
sweat.
When you're done. Yeah, that's really all you can do. It has a half-life of about 10,000 years, I think. So it doesn't have the best adherence to wood. Not, and I say not, paintable. Unless it's a special paintable caulking, silicone caulking, and paintable silicones can cost 2 times those of a high-quality acrylic. So why use them? Other stuff out there that looks like caulking and people get it confused, roof tar in a tube is not a caulking. Driveway crack sealers, you should never, ever use them for caulking. They're designed for their specific use, and they're really never to be touched because they really stay wet. So they look like caulking, but they're not.
But what if you have half a tube sitting around?
Well, we're going to book your inspection very, very soon. You never want to use those. Like I say, they use the same gun, but they're not the same thing. My favorite, and I probably recommend this in almost every inspection, is an acrylic foundation sealer. It looks like a caulking. It is a caulking. It's flexible. It's gray, so it looks good against foundations or between on windowsills, this sort of thing. It is paintable. It moves as your home moves or seasonal changes in your home. And when concrete products harden, if you use like a conventional mortar in these seams, they'll just harden and they have very little flex and adhesion. So they're just going to crack again. So I like this product as being a great solution for cracks in foundations, minor cracks in foundations. The other thing to be careful of are PL adhesives or construction adhesives. Never intended to be used as a caulking. You really are thinking that you really need to think of those as glue in a tube. Never intended to be exposed. And spray foam insulation, I see this all the time. It's never to be exposed to the sun. It just melts away in the sun. Looks awful, but it's never intended to be left on the finish. And when it burns, it can give off toxic fumes. So if you're using it in a basement or anywhere inside a home, it is a fire hazard and it needs to be protected from flame, especially when used in large quantities over large areas. Like if you're thinking of spray foam in a whole wall, which I've seen in a basement, you need to cover that up. Caulking, that's the diff. My home inspection tip of the week.
Yeah, really good, Dave. Interesting stuff. So is there one caulking that you could just, if you just wanted to buy one type and it could be used everywhere?
Yes.
Would that, in fact, then be the silicone?
It would be a paintable silicone.
A paintable silicone?
And I see this. I'll go and I'll see around windows and stuff like that, and I'll see where somebody's tried to paint silicone, and it just rejects paint, period. So if you got a paintable silicone, you'll get the adherence, you'll get the durability, and you will get paintability. You are going to pay the price for it, but if you had to have one tube, if you're on a desert island with only one tube of caulking, it would be paintable silicone.
All right. Thanks. Well, let's take a look at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market in Northumberland County. So the listings, how many listings have sold over this past month? Well, we're up to 100 listings over the past month. The market has been hot. And right now, online listed, we have 338 residential listings in Northumberland County. Now, the average listing price and selling price has just changed a little bit. It's been creeping up, and our average listing price of a residential home in Northumberland County is now, we've hit $300,000, Dave. We've hit that.
I was wondering about that. We were really close to it last week.
Yeah. Well, we've been close to it for a long time, but we finally, first week we hit it. And on average, people are selling those homes for approximately $290,000. So they're still receiving 96.7% of their asking price in a market time of 81 days. Now, I take some of these figures and I calculate an absorption rate. And we do that so that we know what's the ratio of supply and demand. Are we in a balanced market? Are we in a buyer's market, a seller's market? And our absorption rate today is at 30%. So we're definitely in a seller's market. We really don't have enough inventory in general. And these statistics and the information required to calculate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors, and thank you to them. Today's mortgage rates, they remain the same from last week. The best five-year fixed is still at 2.49%, and the best five-year variable is at 2%. And these mortgage rates come to us from the mortgage broker, Carol Ann Bryant, here in Northumberland County.
Thanks, Dale. All right, Reality Realty's points to ponder, and I'm going to step on Dale's toes a little bit here because it's going to be about real estate. But
I wear steel toe boots now when we come here.
I love this article, and I actually got it from a lady by the name of Sandy Rinamato, a real estate professional. You've seen her on TV. She's very sharp. But these are home selling mistakes that home sellers often make. Number one, choosing the wrong agent. This is a high stakes game, selling your house. It's huge money. You should interview your agent. This is going to be a very intimate relationship for the next little while with your agent. Ask them, what will you do for me as a seller? And your best results will come when you work with the realtor. And that's true probably in every relationship, every human relationship, but you need to work with the realtor. There's so much to know. I'm a firm believer that this is not something, and this is not a do-it-yourself project. Number two, overpricing. The stats are there. The comparables are there. To come up with a price, you need to determine that with your realtor. You need to justify your price with the realtor if you're in disagreement. You need to say to that realtor, I believe because of this and this and this, because they in turn have to justify it with a buyer or the buyer's agent. Overpriced houses will sit longer. They'll become stigmatized. And the other aspect of it is, don't be afraid to reduce if you did set the price too high, because if you remain stubborn, you send a signal that you are irrational. And I don't mean irrational in the crazy, it just you're not rational about your thinking. As far as the house itself, lighting. Light the house outside. Get the lights up. Maybe add some inexpensive exterior up lighting. Have appropriate bulbs. This is a bone to pick with me. I have appropriate bulbs in the fixtures. I really can't stand seeing compact fluorescence in spotlights, especially when you're going to sell the house. You want to make it look as good as possible. Lighting inside. Buyers hate dark rooms. You want to lighten up every room and every space you can. And a bright house is a happy house. Number four, difficult to show. It's not a privilege to view your home. You've put it on the market. You've told people you want to come and look at it. It's not a privilege. So you want to make your home as accessible as possible. These people are going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. Lesson is, easy to show, easy to sell. People are busy out there, and you want to make your house easily accessible. And this is one that we've touched on many times, and that is, there is no such thing as cleaning too much. The one of the rubs is not cleaning enough. When you think you've cleaned enough, clean some more. Wipe down even the appliances. This is the first time I've heard this, though, the furnace and the air conditioner. But it makes sense. Take a few minutes to wipe those down, as a dirty house sends a signal that it hasn't been kept up, it hasn't been maintained. Home selling mistakes that are points to ponder, with thanks to Sandy Rinamato, real estate professional.
Yeah, have you ever watched a Watcher show? What was her show? She was Property Virgins?
Yeah. It was a great show. We're addicted to those shows. We've seen them all. Dale, I could, yeah. I've got all the scripts. I send in and get the scripts at home, too. I make a book out of them.
Imagine my surprise.
Anyway, all right.
This is Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join Dave and myself after this short break. We're going to take a good look at the home inspection process today, the tools of the trade, and things you should know. So don't go away.
You've gone and done it again. You agree to plan your company's dinner party. Where will you hold it this year? Of course, there's nowhere better to hold large events than at the Legion Hall in Colburn. Hold your receptions and private parties at the Legion Hall, and you can get them catered. Call Shelley at 905-372-6554 and book the Legion for your event today. And call Sue at 905-342-2087 for catering.
The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 133 is located at 136 Orr Street in Cobourg. Call 905-372-2231 and become a member today.
Hello friends, I'm Lauren Fevens. As I hear from more folks who join me on Sentimental Journey, it's clear how enjoyable the music of the 1940s and 50s is to them. They tell me how easily very special memories surface when a song from their past is played. So come along for more of those musical memories on this week's Sentimental Journey.
Sunday mornings at 10 on Northumberland 89.7.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Of course, our listeners know, Dave, that you're a certified home inspector, but do they know what the home inspector is looking for?
A lot of people don't.
In a house, no. Do they know how a home inspector does their job and why they're doing what they do? The questions to ask your home inspectors, that's something else. What should you be asking that home inspector? And what the house should be inspected for? What are the key things,
yes,
the must-haves? And then also questions like who gets the report? So let's get into this right away, Dave. Just like every other guest we have, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Well, I didn't start off in the home inspection business. I spent over 30 years with Home Hardware and Home Hardware Billing Centers, both corporate and in private ownership. The last 9 years, we owned our own store in Brooklyn, north of Whitby. Personally, myself and my wife, Shayla, have a keen interest in home renovation and decor. And with over 30 years of homeowners and contractors showing me firsthand how to and how not to do repairs on the sales floor, I learned an awful lot from that aspect of it. And it really does translate well into home inspection. A couple of years ago, we sold the Home Hardware store and we purchased the home inspection franchise operating from Belleville to Port Hope and Prince Edward County. So that's how we are where we are right now.
Yeah, it sounds like that owning the Home Hardware really was a good foundation for what you're doing today.
Well, you know, I think probably the greatest comfort level I had, because, I mean, I did step out of a pretty comfortable zone, a place that all I'd known since I was 18 years old. It was well over 30 years. And now, a couple of years in and over 200 inspections under my belt, I realized very early on that my comfort zone is probably going to be my best playing card, and that is customer service, listening to what customers want, being able to identify what their needs were, being able to read what I like to call the temperature in the room, and I think that's a phrase you've used as well, Dale, being able to understand their stress level and their concerns. And it is a relationship, certainly a relationship business. So that aspect of it is probably 50% of what I do every day. And my history really helped me with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, why don't we start with the difference between a pre-inspection and maybe what we would call a buyer's inspection report. I love the pre-inspections, and you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the difference, Dave?
Well, In its purest form, I really believe the inspection itself should be no different, and that's a fine balance where that every inspector should try to maintain. And I will try to clarify when it's my opinion and what the general feeling is in the inspection business. The inspection itself, as an item, should be exactly the same. You should not be pulling any punches. You should be telling it like it is. The difference that is the inspection, the physical inspection, and the report should be the same. The difference could be, and the differences are, in that I rarely, in a buyer's inspection, when I go into a home, I rarely meet the seller of the home. I don't want to meet the seller of the home. Usually you get awkward questions at the beginning or the end. It does happen.
Or them trying to railroad the direction the inspection report will look.
Well, it's high stakes for them as well,
yeah,
right?
For
it's
sure.
A high stress for them right now. So I'd prefer not to, you know, I will sit out in front of a house. If I see the homeowner has not left yet, I will wait out in front of the house. I will try to be friendly, wave. I'll you know, exchange pleasantries. But I really don't want to talk to them about what I'm there to do. But in saying that, in a pre-inspection, I do have the benefit of, because I'm actually doing it for the seller. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the inspection for the seller. So I can gain information like how old is the roof? Is there an attic hatch? Is there anything I need to know about existing conditions that have happened in the home? And, you know, proof of maintenance and these sort of things. And I can give them some advice on some of those things. Like I can say to them, oh, you did get the furnace replaced last year. Well, maybe mention to assuming, say, Dale, you are the agent, I'd recommend maybe you get those receipts out for that roof or any of that maintenance schedule, and you get that stuff out because it's good stuff. And sometimes I'll even take a picture of it and put it in the report itself.
But just because somebody says, I did my roof 5 years ago. That's not necessarily what goes in the report, right? You'll take that information and validate if it's true. It gives you a clue, right?
And that is why I say it that way. I certainly would not want to say I don't believe you.
No.
But by saying, you know, in a roundabout way, oh, you got the roof done 5 years ago. No, it'd be great. It'd be great if you could maybe see if you can dig out those receipts and that way, because that's great information for you and great information for your selling agent to have. And that's where we're looking for verification, because hearsay is no – I can put it in that the seller's agent or the seller claims, but I will always back it up with that same statement, request verification receipts for warranty purposes. Okay?
So who typically gets those reports? When you do a pre-inspection report for a buyer's report as opposed to a pre-inspection – I mean a buyer's report as opposed to a pre-inspection report.
Well, a pre-inspection report is with the permission of the person who's purchasing the report, because it is a confidential document. It is not shared with the municipality. It's not shared with any governing bodies. It is actually a contract which is signed before I actually show up on site, by the person paying for the report. In some cases, I'll have a realtor that actually pays for the report themselves. And then in some cases, it's actually the seller. So whoever the person is that's actually paid for the report and has contracted me to do it, that is the only person that I am free to speak with unless given permission by that person. So from the perspective of if I was doing a pre-inspection for you, Dale, and it was your client, I would simply ask for permission if the client was paying for it, to get their permission to discuss it with you. But otherwise, I need that permission. I don't discuss it with anyone else. I don't share it with anyone else. And I don't discuss it with certainly any buyers or any other agents. It's a confidential document. In the case of a buyer coming in and asking for an inspection, same holds true. I only discuss it with them unless I'm given permission, and quite often I am given permission by the buyer to send a copy to the buyer's agent so that they have a discussion document. And for the most part, that's usually so that the agent is educated on if there was a particular thing said about the roof and it needs to be a discussion with the seller of the unit. We mentioned something about the chimney, and the seller said, I don't know what you're talking about, the chimney. Then you've got the pictures, or you've got the actual verbatim right in front of you, and that's why.
We know how to defend the home and we're coming from. Dave, how about on a typical home inspection report? I've heard you break it down and call it the Big Five.
Yes.
Can you explain the Big Five?
Well, I like to educate the customer when they show up. I want to find out what their expectations are. I want to know if they understand why we're there. And then I gauge my soliloquy at the beginning to tell them exactly what I'm there to do. I'm very, very thorough. I take great care in testing everything I possibly can. But in saying that, I do tell whoever it is that's there to get the inspection done that we don't want to pick apart the house. We're not here to pick out every flaw in the house. There is no such thing as a perfect home. Mm-hmm. We are there to cover every detail, and it's a great opportunity for me to really look through the home without any personal attachment, without any emotion, without any stress. I'm the perfect sort of middleman in that regard. But in saying that, we want the buyer or the person who's getting the inspection done to focus on the big picture, and that's where we come up with the Big Five. That's the roof, the building envelope, including the foundation. So basically, you've got the roof, your eaves trough, your gutters, chimney, that sort of thing. The building envelope, which is your foundation, your windows, your doors, everything basically that wraps the house, the exterior siding, whatever that may be, the electrical, the plumbing, and the heating. So those are the big tickets. Those are what we're here to focus on. They are quite often, I like to think of when someone's coming out, because I rarely look at what the asking price of a house is. It's nothing to do with what I function as a home inspector. But we do talk about budget, so that's the way I refer to it. I don't know what your budget is, but these are the five biggies that may affect that budget moving forward. For now, and for the next 4 to 5 years. So that's what we're here to do, is to give you an indication best we can on the condition of those big budget items.
And that's, I think, in both situations, in a pre-inspection situation, I think it's ideal for the seller to know ahead of time what a home inspection will reveal. And if there's a surprise there that they didn't even know, what a great opportunity to decide what they're going to do, either to remedy, to fix that that issue, or to adjust the price, knowing that people are going to see this and they're going to expect to have to repair it themselves possibly. So I think it's a great thing to have a heads up for a seller. And then also naturally as a buyer inspection, I mean the buyer, they want to know what they're buying, especially if they're spending very close to the limit of what they can afford.
Well, I mean, you know, we joke around back and forth. We've known each other for over a year now, and I really do consider you a friend.
Seems like longer.
I do consider you a friend. We've had some tough discussions on this aspect because I do more pre-inspections with you than any other realtor I deal with. But it can be a real dance when it comes to this because, again, I don't have that insulation value of not having to deal with the person who owns that house. I don't have to really worry so much about offending. The idea is I'm supposed to be a third party that's unbiased and unemotional in this, but there are emotions that sometimes will sort of backlash on, for example, you. So just using you as an example. If I do say that the roof needs to be replaced and the buyer or the seller is adamant that it didn't, the goal of a pre-inspection is to lay clear what the next guy or the next inspector coming in is probably going to report to. So the idea is that knowledge is power. You need to prepare. Mm-hmm. We need to prepare
for
what may be found so that we've got our heads around it before we get right down to those last few hours or few days where we have to react and you make an emotional overreaction one way or the other of being offended or negotiating. So it is a little bit more of a challenge for me. It's a little more stressful for me as an inspection because I do have to explain some of the findings in some cases because I do have an open conduit of information back and forth that doesn't exist in most of my inspections other than on the other end of it where I have to explain to the buyer what if I do need to explain what it is that I found. So but the pre-inspection is designed to reveal to you what inevitably will be found when you get right down to that offer stage.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a short break and we'll return to talk about the home inspection process from the perspective of the realtor and the home inspector.
As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's three others doing what you do or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
The story you are about to hear is true. Ed White, you saved this guy $20,000?
I fixed his refrigerator.
And?
So his wife doesn't need a new one. She doesn't get a new fridge. She doesn't need a whole new kitchen to go with it. I saved him $20,000.
Save big bucks. Call Ed White Appliance Service in Port Hope, 885-7109.
Yes, it is worth fixing.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland, 89.7 FM Local Real Estate Talk. Today we're talking about the home inspection. And we didn't have to look any further than our resident certified home inspector and co-host of the show, Dave Smith. Dave, before the break, we talked about the difference between a pre-inspection report, and a buyer's inspection report. And we also looked at the major components of the home inspection, which you refer to as the Big Five. Dave, when somebody who hasn't ever seen a home inspection report, or, you know, not every home inspection report is created equal either. I've seen them from you. I've seen them from other home inspectors. They all look a bit different. Is it just a matter of ticking off boxes that pre-typed lines follow? Or are there actual written explanations in a report?
Certainly when in the training process and in the comparative, when I first got into the business, I spent a lot of time looking at what other inspectors were doing or what other brands were doing. Mm-hmm. Pillar to Post, and not going to talk too much about this aspect of it because I don't think that's fair, but I felt that they do one of the best products out there. And I support that with the report format that we have. I think If the home is absolutely pristine and everything is perfect, then yes, it could theoretically be just about ticking off boxes. But you have to know how to find the answer to tick off that box. You have to know what information to get. You know, we're finding out the age and condition of a furnace, of a hot water tank, of a HRV, of a boiler. I did last week, I think I did three boilers in a row, very sophisticated device, of in-floor heating. There are so many aspects that you need to look for that you just wouldn't necessarily recognize. So we have written explanations as well. I'm a big believer of if you bring a problem to the table, you bring a solution. And I think that's what I believe sets my report apart from a lot of the rest. It's like, here is the problem, but here is the solution. And to a degree, here's the elevated concern. If something is beyond my scope, if I go in and I see an electrical issue or I see patterns of unprofessional electrical, I will report it as such. I'm not an electrician, nor do I sell myself that way, or a plumber or a structural engineer, but I will actually make the comments on what needs to be looked at and assessed and repaired for safety, say in the case of electrical. But I also will say I recommend that an electrical contractor or qualified contractor come in and look at these things if I feel there's an elevated need to have a real a contractor come in if it's beyond my scope.
Yeah, because, I mean, I have seen reports, and they're just a series of standard copy lines with a checkbox in front of it, and it either gets checked or it doesn't get checked, and it really doesn't say as much as when you have an explanation as well. That it's, I mean, it doesn't have to accompany everything. Some things are pretty plain and simple, but quite often in your reports, and other people do it as well, you see an explanation and a solution, and that's absolutely excellent.
Well, and you don't want to go in and do a inspection on a home and leave the buyer with more questions than they started with. You want to have some answers. Yeah. You want to have some completion. That's why we use photographs so extensively, because literally a picture says 1,000 words. Even if it's just a picture of there's an electrical, a ground fault receptacle, a GFCI as they're called, that isn't functioning properly outside, we take a picture of it, and I try to take in enough of the landscape that they can figure out exactly what that is, rather than writing a three-line thing saying you go around the corner, you look down to your right-hand side, it's between the wheelbarrow and the wagon, and you just take a picture of it and say, this is the receptacle I'm talking about. So the pictures can be very valuable in that regard.
Yeah, especially when it's things that the average seller or buyer can't see themselves. They're not necessarily going to go up on the roof, and you take a picture of the condition when you're up on the roof, or when you have the electrical panel cover off, that they're not actually going to take that cover off themselves necessarily, but while it's there, or when you, I notice the pictures show up when you use your testing equipment. They don't have that testing equipment. No. So don't just take my word for the fact it read this or it didn't pass. Take a look. I'm holding it here. The red light is on, or you know, it's reading this amount.
Well, and not to be mean here, but you know, if the top of a chimney cap is really eroding badly, and if I see that there could be a challenge related to it, there's no way I just got that fixed last year, and I don't know what he's talking about. But if I take a picture of a whole bunch of concrete laying on top of the roof, from 5 feet away, kind of hard to argue with that.
And they didn't hear you chipping.
Yeah. Kind of hard to argue with that. Or there's no rain cap on the chimney. You just take a picture of the chimney. It's got no rain cap. You know, end of story. So, you know, it's really about coming to a solution. And I think it's fair to say about 80% of what I report on is really maintenance related. It's really a did you know kind of thing. And a lot of my report is designed to be something as a going forward document. I think we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But, you know, it's about here's the problem, here's the solution, and this is what we're talking about. Okay? So in regards to doing a report that is value, that has value, that's what it's all about for me. I don't necessarily look at it from the perspective of, oh, you know, this is going to hurt somebody's feelings or this is going to hurt the deal. I'm there to report. That's my function. That's my job. This is just one part of the piece of information that you as a buyer are going to go forward with on whether or not this is the right house for you or this fits into your budget. You know, you've got mortgage information, you've got banking information, you have your real estate real estate professional's opinion. This is just my piece of the puzzle that you take the whole thing together and you make your decision. So I try not to be, you know, the smartest guy in the room kind of thing.
Dave, so we have a report. We're looking at a report. It's a big part of this report is the big five components. Yep. We have check boxes. We have written explanations. We have photographs to help us understand it more. We have solutions in these segments that tell us what possible fixes are for these issues. What are some extra services that can be included in a home inspection but not necessarily part of a basic home inspection?
Well, there's only so much you can do in a 2.5-3 hour inspection. There's only so much the human eye can do. I've not lived in that house. I haven't been in that house before this morning. I don't know what's happened in the 30, 40, 100. I did a house last week. It was 170 years old. So certainly I don't know all that's transpired since that house was built. But we do have some tools that allow you to do more than what the human eye can do. And that is, say, an infrared camera. It's a non-invasive tool. It basically measures temperature is what it does. And a wet surface will reflect back a different temperature than a dry surface, or a cold surface will reflect back differently than a warm surface. So it's great for showing moisture issues in and around the ceiling and attic juncture and then upstairs room, underneath bathrooms in, say, in a finished basement or just on the second floor, underneath things like ice makers, under fridges. It will show us hot breakers under load in an electrical panel. It will show us vacancies. For example, a lot of people don't realize that if a raccoon takes up house in your attic, they will actually clear out about a 4-foot by 4-foot area that they use as their bathroom. So they clean out all that insulation in that attic, and this camera will show that vacancy. It'll show where that insulation wasn't.
Right.
So it's a fabulous tool. There's a special thing in Canada. It's a Canadian thing. It's called WET, or Wood Energy Transfer Technology. And this is for wood stoves. If you have a wood stove, a pellet stove, any sort of a wood-burning appliance, many insurance companies, this is an insurance-driven thing, will expect a WET certified inspector to look at this. And this is a pass or fail as opposed to a regular home inspection. Air sampling is one of the services we offer. Dust sampling, and this is basically testing for about 36 common mold species in a home. We offer third-party lab testing for vermiculite or asbestos, mold, water. A lot of people feel they just need to take their water to the Public Health Ontario unit, and that's true. You can do that. But the difference between what they do and what we can do is the Public Health Ontario only tests really for coliforms and E. coli generally, whereas you can send it off to our lab and it'll also test for the same thing, coliform and E. coli, but also leads, nitrites, manganese, and pH levels. So, you know, you can get a more sophisticated test through us. Special things like oil tanks. This is something that makes a lot of realtors kind of quiver. Oil tanks can have their own special issues. And again, insurance companies want to see dating on those particular aspects of the home. Septic is not something I do, but it is a special service that you may need to get done if you've never had a septic bed or a septic tank. And wells and well flow testing, basically what you can do there is they come out, they test and see how much water is drawn from that well over a 1 hour period and how long it takes for that well to basically recover that same amount of water. So there are a lot of aspects, and this is where you really want to do a little bit of, you certainly want to work with your realtor like we referred to earlier in the show. Your realtor is there working with you, and these are questions and things that you want to try to make sure you get sorted out before you just go ahead and book. You want to make sure all of these aspects are covered. So Dale, when we come back, I'd like to wrap things up on home inspection, and we'll give you a preview of what's coming up on next week's show. Or did you have anything else you'd like to ask me? I did all the talking there.
No, you've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join Dave and myself after this short break, and we'll continue to talk about the home inspection and the home inspection beyond the sale.
Beyond the sale.
Right.
That does not sound good.
I know. And who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and I think you need me.
It's that bad?
Not for long. Head to Midas for a comprehensive brake system evaluation, and if needed, we can install brake pads and shoes that come with a lifetime guarantee. How's that sound?
Like sound advice?
Nice one.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for great customer service from licensed Midas mechanics. For details, give them a call at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
Join me, Little Kenny Fever, on the Rock and Roll Timeline here on Northumberland 89.7. Friday nights between 8 and 10, we've got the Roots of Rock. Yours truly will dig into blues, rhythm and blues, country, boogie-woogie, and rockabilly, from the past right up to the present, wherever there's a good tune. Northumberland's original rock and roll show, Northumberland's original Fever, Fridays at 8 on 89.7, truly local radio.
Welcome back to Reality Realty. Now, when it comes to the inspection report that I like to present it as not just an inspection, but a manual for the home. This is an amazing opportunity to look through the eyes of someone who doesn't have to really care about the home or know the story behind this aspect of the home or that aspect of the home. I'm not concerned about what my budget is or what I can afford or what my priorities are. So I can report to you, and again, we did talk about the big five, but the inspection itself will include all aspects of what the inspection uncovered. And I give it to you in a binder format. There's also some great things on there about twice a year seasonal short inspections that you should do as a homeowner. So it has that in there. It also includes great stuff in there as far as keeping all the information on the aspect of the home. We also do send it to you in electronic format, so it shows very well on a handheld device, and it also comes to you. You get left with a binder that you can literally put up on the shelf. Don't throw it in the box with all the other closing documents. Keep it out there, because this way you've got basically the home in a manual form.
And Dave, I really like, because I'm a big fan of the pre-inspection report, realtors would really like the electronic version, where if somebody's looking at the home we have listed and they're serious about the home, then we can easily electronically pass on that report to their realtor and give them a good chance to see this third party assessment of the home and make an offer with full disclosure on what the home is about. So I like that electronic aspect. It's so easy as a realtor to pass it on to, say, a fellow realtor.
Well, and one thing I didn't touch on about the pre-inspection is, and we've met before with some of your clients when we do the pre-inspection, and I like to put it this way: if the owner of the home is a little uneasy about the idea of the pre-inspection, because it really is about looking in every nook and cranny of your home, but it's like we are so confident in our home versus the competition, we actually went ahead and got inspected ourselves, and here's that report. We basically put our dirty laundry out there for you to look at. So I think it's a great tool. I think it's something that is a great opportunity in a growing and changing real estate market, the pre-inspection. Mm-hmm. Okay, so getting back to the actual inspection itself, you don't need to be a home inspector to maintain your home. You just need to a couple of times a year, and I like to say Easter and Thanksgiving, because that gives definitive time frames that you can think about, and they're perfect time frames, because the Easter weekend, you have an extra day. Depending on what walk of life you're in, you may have two extra days, but you actually have that extra day or two. It's not particularly beautiful outside, so it gets you a chance really for the first time since Christmas to get out there and look at your home. And it's the end of, for the most part, except for this year, it's pretty much the end of the cold weather, or at least a lot of snow. Thanksgiving weekend, same thing. It's a three-day weekend, not the nicest weather. You're going to be out in a jacket anyway, kind of thing. So it gives you a chance to go out there, review what's happened to your house over those summer months before the snow comes, before, it could very well be most of the leaves are gone. So you get to clean out your Easter. Get up there and review aspects of the home. You take pictures of the trouble areas in your home, in around your roof, or get someone up there on your roof. Look at your eaves trough, look at your gardens, look around your air conditioner, look at the caulking around your windows, etc.
You could take all those pictures, put them into a folder on your computer, and have that as a benchmark from year one. And then every year, twice a year, do those same pictures again. Take them and do a comparative. You can bring them up if you're fancy with your computer. You can bring them up side by side. And what you're looking there is for change. You're looking for change in the transitions. And when I say transitions, I'm talking about if you have a house that is brick and vinyl. So where they meet, where the window frames meet the home, where the flashings around the chimney, where the eaves trough meet along the roof line, where the trees are maybe overgrowing the house. So you're looking for those changes seasonally.
And Dave, the home inspection being the very first record, the benchmark of where that house is when you first buy it. And Dave, I just want to back up just a little bit.
Sure.
I just thought of something you mentioned in the last segment about what you can find in a house over that 2.5-3 hour home inspection. And maybe people don't even know how long a typical home inspection would be. And I'm sure, and not only sure, but I know it can change between home inspectors. Tell us about the time that you particularly spend in a home inspection and what people should expect for a time frame and what can be done in that time frame.
Well, I am a very, very thorough inspector. I check every light switch, every door catch, every window I can. I'm under your deck. I'm in your basement. I'm in your attic. I'm in your kitchen. I'm testing your appliances. I'm getting all the information off of everything. So I do it as thorough, I think, an inspection as is possible within a reasonable amount of time. And I like to allow, I always ask for 3.5 hours to do that inspection. Rather under promise and over deliver. So if we're done in 3 hours, that's great. But there can be something that can happen within there. A furnace that doesn't come on when it's supposed to, a thermostat that's very difficult to get gauged, or just a problem that needs an answer to. So I'd rather ask for more time and have you on your way earlier. Now, in saying that, it is not necessary. It depends. As I say to my customers and your customers, Dale, our clients, it's your inspection. You tell me what you want from a home inspection. From what I need, what my requirement is, you don't need to be there for the whole inspection, okay? Mm-hmm. I would like you to be there for the last hour to hour and a half.
To start to explain things.
Because really, I've got to get my job done. It's great if you're there at the beginning so I can explain to you what I'm there for. And so you can tell me what the burning question is. You woke up this morning with first time your eyes open, home inspection today, we're going to get the house today sort of thing. So if you've got a burning question that you want answered, it's good to know what that is, but you can pass that on. You can pass that through the phone call I do at the beginning. But if you can only be there, for a limited amount of time because of other obligations, try to be there for the last hour, hour and a half. I can certainly go through everything that's happened before you came and even take you physically to that spot and say, this, when I report this in the report, this is the part of the chimney that I'm talking about, or this is the eaves trough that I'm talking about, to make it more real for you. But if you're there for the last hour, hour and a half, but as a rule, I like to see 3.5 hours.
And the realtor is there while you're there.
The realtor, as I understand it, is required to be there for the entire inspection.
Yes.
I am bonded, as any home inspector should be bonded. But for a comfort level, the realtor is almost always there for the entire inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And that can sometimes be a challenge because you folks are pretty busy.
What are you saying about us, Dave?
You can be pretty busy, but I will say thank goodness for phones, because you guys can do an awful lot sitting there on the at the coffee table.
And
that really probably makes my life a little easier.
It's a perfect time for me to open up my computer, tether it to my phone, and get busy. And stay out of your hair.
Well, and there's not many questions I ask of the realtor when I'm on, maybe ask him if there is an attic hatch. If there was a statement, say, in the listing that states to me that the roof was replaced in 2012, for example, I may turn to the realtor and says, it said in the listing that it was 2012. Did they leave any receipts, or is there any verification for that? This sort of thing.
Or are the appliances included or excluded?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or just any variables that have changed since the last time I spoke with either the buyer or the agent themselves.
Well, Dave, I'm sorry I interrupted you. You were telling us about the home inspection report as being a manual for the home for the rest of that next homeowner's life, and you were telling us a little bit about that.
Well, it really is when you can keep all of that stuff. It's got folders in the back that has all of your utilities, your taxes, any improvements you've made, and the report, especially with the pictures in it. If you did put on a new deck, you literally have a picture of what the old deck looked like. Or if you did repair the chimney, you've got a picture of what the chimney looked like, and you can actually say, well, and this is what we've done. So it truly is a manual for the home. You can keep everything in there. And I have often said, and this is when I usually get a good reaction from realtors, I say in 3 or 4 years' time, if your family grows and you decide you need a 4-bedroom from a 2-bedroom home, you've got this document that's just going to make Mr. Bryant over here very, very happy, because you've got everything in one place. Because this is all the documents that you folks get them scrambling to get, you know, proof of utilities and taxes and all that stuff. So it is just a great way to keep, you know, at least your goal is to keep it all in one place.
Yeah, if they take advantage of using that binder wisely, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And one more thing I'm going to say about home inspection, and this is maybe one of the biggest misconceptions. There is no pass or fail a home inspection, okay?
It's just a report.
It is a report. I like to phrase it as a snapshot in time of the condition of this home and the technical aspects of the home. That's all it is. There is no pass or fail. And how you react to it and what you need to do and how long is the roof going to last and what should I do? Should I be asking for a discount? Should I be asking? I do not get involved in that aspect. That's what your realtor is for. This is the information that you hired me to do. Take that information and do with it what you will. Like I say, same as the information you got from your mortgage broker, your bank, your insurance company, etc.
Well, Dave, thanks for doubling your duties today, being co-host and being the guest of our show. And Dave, just like any other guest, if somebody would like to get in contact with you, what's the best way they can?
Well, you can email me, and let's use the Reality Realty website, or email address. So you can email me at dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can call me at 613-567-7678. Now, Dale, that's a lot. That was a lot of talking, even for me, because I'm not much of a talker.
Yeah.
What do we got coming up next week, Dale?
Well, next week, Dave, we have from Pritchard Mechanical, we have operations manager Roberto Neves
Valet,
and we'll be talking about heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, commonly known as HVAC, and how to maintain and protect this valuable part of your home.
Now, I sure hope that the weather opens up, because I know Roberto is very, very busy. So we're planning on having him coming on, but with the weather being what it is, it's turning right into air conditioning. It'll go right from heat to air conditioning. So we look forward to having him on. We hope to see him next week. If you have any questions or comments, topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca, or you can call into the radio station at 905-372-2391, or visit us on social media at facebook.com/Northumberland897, or Twitter @trulylocal897, or of course on the web, northumberland897.ca.
Don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, Truly Local Radio. Until next week, folks.